At times, John's like to talk about your defilements in a way that makes it seem like they're separate people inside you. Greed says this, anger says that, lust says this, jealousy says that. They're trying to exert power over you. It is as if there are separate becomings inside there. Your mind is full of desires, and they have to argue their case. Each desire goes together with a becoming. In other words, there's something you want. And it exists in a particular world of experience. And you would have to take on a certain identity within that world in order to get that thing. And it's almost as if those desires have their admin arguing their case. Sometimes it has to do with the object that you might desire. Sometimes it has to do with the world in which you would find yourself striving for that desired object. And sometimes it has to do with the identity you would take on. You see, it's in advertisements all over the place. When they sell a car, it's not just the car. It's the social world in which you would exist if you had that car, and the kind of person you would be in that world if you had that car. The whole becoming is what they would call the Ford experience or the BMW experience. Well, that's how our desires, our likes and dislikes, our anger, our lust, present their case. Sometimes they present a pretty weak case. Again, it's like advertisements. There's some advertisements that are trying to get you to want something that would involve taking on an identity in a particular world that you would not want. So you can see that it's worthless. But then something else would come along, present the case a little bit differently. Same object. And the objects of our desires don't change that much. But in a different world, with you taking on a different identity. It's like all the fantasies on the world of James Bond. Drinking, having sex, is a sophisticated thing in that world. It's not really all that different from drinking, having sex in a very poor, shanty town. Basically the same desire, but dressed up differently. So you have to watch out for the dressing up. Some voices speak in the mind, advocating a desire. And it's almost as if they're not talking to you at all. Because they don't appeal to your sense of who you would like to be or the world you would like to exist in. But others can present the same thing. You find yourself hooked. So you have to be careful. Just because you've learned how to say no to certain becomings, the way they present a particular object as desirable or not, doesn't mean you've succeeded in dealing with all becomings. They can sneak up and present something else. It's like that case of the nun Supa. She's going through the woods, and a goldsmith's son, a libertine, comes up and accosts her. A few years back, someone made a translation of that. Someone who said she was doing a feminist take on these verses, because only women would understand the verses. And this person, the goldsmith's son, he's really crude. Hey, you're hot. I'm hot. Let's go. The way he talks, no self-respecting woman in a right mind would go for it. Of course, leads open the possibility that if you were more subtle and suave, she might go for it. Well, that's actually what the original Pali is all about. He has a silver tongue. And he paints very attractive and alluring pictures of what it would be like if she went and lived with him, if she disrobed. And he presents it largely as a picture of the kind of woman she would become in his dream world. She'd have servants looking after her. She'd be using fine fabrics. She'd like a golden doll. But the nun is not interested. This is the point. She's a non-returner. So no matter how he presents his case, she's not going to fall for it. She argues with him. But in this body, full of all these disgusting things, like we have in the chan and the 32 parts of the body, what in this body do you find that's attractive? He says, your eyes. Your eyes are like those of a fawn. Again, trying to paint a picture of her. Even though his desire is to have sex with her, that's the whole point of all this. But he's talking about her eyes, talking about her. Hoping that she would be attracted by this picture that he's painting of her. But these eyes, they're just little globes, bathed in tears, bathed in mucus. How can you be attracted to them? He says, I don't care. That's the whole point of all this. All this advertisement that our defilements present to us. They want us to get to the point where we don't care. In other words, lacking otapa, lacking compunction, not caring about the results of our actions. Living in a world where the Dhamma doesn't exist, where the Buddha doesn't exist, where a John Lee, a John Munn, all the greatest Johns don't exist. But again, she's not tempted. She says, you'd like my eye, and she plucks it out, hands it to him. Of course, he's immediately taken aback, apologizes profusely, and she makes her way safely out of the forest. It was her bravery that got her out. The story ends well. She goes back to see the Buddha and she gets her eye back. But the point is, when he's talking about sex, he doesn't talk about sex. He's talking about her world in which she would live and the kind of being she would be in that world. The becoming around the sensual desire. So that's what you have to watch out for. Your defilements are trying to create states of becoming. Try to suck you in. And they suck you in by painting the allure in such a way that you decide, I don't care. You have to care. What's going on in your mind has its consequences. Other people may not know, but that's not the problem. The fact is, there are karmic consequences for giving in to your defilements. And the becoming tries to present them in such a way that they don't matter or they don't exist. The compunction goes out the window. So you have to develop a strong sense that your thoughts, words, and deeds all have consequences. And you really do care about yourself down the line. This is not just a matter of being in the present and thinking that will solve your problems. Because what you do in the present has consequences in the present, but also down the line into the future. And you want to care. You have to learn how to steel yourself, because these advertisements that your desires make, they try to sell their wares. They try to find where in you you have a soft spot. Again, it's like advertisers outside. They present their wares in one way, it doesn't attract you well. They'll paint another picture, another world. Another you. And then they finally hook you. So you have to learn how to not have any hooks. This is one of the reasons why we develop mindfulness, not just to keep general things in mind, but specifically to keep in mind the fact that when you go into a world like that, there are going to be consequences. Even though the world claims that there will be no consequences, it shuts them out. Because each world of experience cherry picks, at least in his presentation. Just like the advertisements we see on TV, we see in magazines, we see on the internet, they create a very distorted world in which actions really don't have consequences. So learn how to not have any soft spots where the advertisers can get you. And when you do have some soft spots, be alert for any attempt to appeal to them. Because they can pull you down.